You're listening to Wellness Wednesday, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. This week, Public Health Nursing discusses the novel coronavirus.
Welcome to Wellness Wednesday. I'm your host, Christy Schallenberger, and with me today is public health nurse Donna Bean. She was a public health nurse in Bethel for a few years before moving to Anchorage last year. And we're talking today about the novel coronavirus today and tuberculosis. Donna, could you tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're in Bethel?
Yeah, hi. Happy Wednesday, I guess. My name is Donna Bean, and I am a public health nurse. I was in Bethel working out of the public health center as an itinerant nurse for about 3 years. So in that time, I dealt a lot with tuberculosis and have been to about 30-plus villages in the region. And now I work in Anchorage as an itinerant traveling down the Aleutian chain with communities like Dutch Harbor and ADAC, but also working on a substance misuse and addiction prevention grant, but that's sort of on hold right now, as most things are due to coronavirus. And so I'm here in Bethel, in part to help with coronavirus, but also tuberculosis case management. Usually we are at the public health center, when we're fully staffed, have about 10 nurses, and right now we've got 4. So I'm out here to sort of help give support during this time.
And I know we're definitely going to talk about tuberculosis management, but obviously what is on people's minds the most is COVID-19 or coronavirus. Can you explain what coronavirus is and how, as a public health nurse, you're dealing with it?
Yeah, so coronavirus, is a sort of generic name, and I'm sure people have already heard this, but there's sort of different names floating around. Coronavirus is one, and COVID-19 is another. They're both referring to a type of virus that circulates in human populations, and they often cause things like the common cold. There's different types of coronaviruses. The World Health Organization officially named this coronavirus COVID-19. It came out in 2019. That's where the 19 came from. It's a specific kind of coronavirus. It's similar to the SARS coronavirus. It is not as virulent. That means deadly or lethal. MERS and SARS were very deadly comparatively, but SARS stands for Severe Acute Respiratory Syndrome, and that means some of the worst, outcomes of getting this coronavirus could be things like pneumonia, really bad respiratory issues, needing to have critical care in a hospital, like on a ventilator, and of course, the worst case scenario is death. And I think that's another question, but I forgot.
What?
I think you had asked another question, maybe 2 wrapped in one, and I didn't quite catch the second one.
Oh, no worries. I'm going to just briefly explain that Donna Bean and I are both calling in as a way to practice social distancing and to go out in public as little as possible to prevent spreading COVID-19 and prevent ourselves from getting sick. So that's why we're both on the phone. So, Donna, my second question was, as a public health nurse, I know you said you came here for tuberculosis management, but it also seems like you're also on deck to help deal with COVID-19. So in your role, what are you doing with this coronavirus?
Yeah, so right now I'm out here to help support with TB case management. We have a lot of cases in the Delta. Historically, we've had a lot of cases. So in terms of coronavirus, I've been privy to a lot of the conversations, or like up close, in Anchorage. And so we are, what we're specifically working on is rolling out a plan in conjunction with YKHC and ANTHC in Anchorage. That's the Alaska Native Tribal Health Consortium, to get plans for preparation out to small communities, rural areas, and sort of start conversations with these communities about how they can best prepare and think in the short and long term about how to deal with coronavirus.
And what are the challenges facing rural Alaska with COVID-19? And I know there's been tuberculosis epidemics in the past that have kind of inform how villages are handling restricting travel, et cetera. Can you kind of talk about the challenges that rural Alaska faces in particular with epidemic and with potential epidemic and pandemic outbreaks?
Yeah. So Alaskans, especially in rural areas, are not strangers to a lot of the difficulties that come with living in an extreme climate and places that are really remote. As an itinerant, I've experienced them frequently. But number one, I would say, is transportation. As most people know, weather is really the ruler of that, and plane schedules, et cetera. So the sorts of challenges around coronavirus, they're not new. We're just going to have to think about them differently. And this is where I think public health knowledge around tuberculosis in the region really comes into play. Tuberculosis is another respiratory infection that also can be transmitted through the air and in droplets. Tuberculosis is something that's called aerosolized, and so when you talk or sing, they're really, really small particles. So you can spread that by being close to somebody, just like coronavirus. There's some similarities there that I want to draw on just so we can understand precautions. Coronavirus is new to the human population, so nobody really has any immunity or has any, we don't have treatment, we don't have a vaccine. Tuberculosis does have treatment, but for both of those, in terms of transportation, if we're on a plane, you know, out to rural villages, that's closed quarters, and you can't stay 4 to 6 feet away from each other, and so limiting travel as much as possible and making sure that you're wearing protective gear is essential. I know that villages have been shutting down transportation or wanting to limit it as much as possible. I do know that we are going to need healthcare workers in areas and have to sort of figure out how we're going to transport patients who become critically ill. So that's a challenge. Another challenge that's being addressed by YKHC through the Office of Environmental Health is hygiene. So most villages have water sewer hooked up. There's still some that aren't. They're on honey buckets. Even the ones who have water sewer, sometimes somebody runs over the main or there's not enough pressure in the pump and people aren't getting water. So we really need to figure out how we're going to be cleaning, because everyone's got to be cleaning. And if we don't have water, how can we do that? So I know the Office of Environmental Health has been in touch with village leadership, tribal, and city about how to clean with bleach and that's information that's available on CDC, but also through YKHC. So bleach and any kind of water, even if it's, you know, that you can get. And I my main issue with water is it's more expensive than soda in the village stores, so having a clean source of water is essential to be able to clean. So that's a challenge. There's a lot of underlying health conditions in our population. We've got high rates of asthma. We've got something called RSV, respiratory syncytial virus, and of course tuberculosis. These are all infections of the lungs that can put people at risk for another lung infection. And anybody, especially elders, but anybody who has diabetes, any type 1 or type 2 diabetes, and any other heart conditions, even high blood pressure, and maybe, you know, things from having smoked cigarettes. You get lung issues from that. And anybody who has what we call a weaker immune system, like maybe they had cancer or they're taking medication for arthritis, all of these people are at higher risk for getting the coronavirus and having complications. They're also at risk for flu. They're at risk for a lot of things. But so those are challenges specific to the Delta that we have, especially around respiratory infections. And lastly, I think healthcare personnel. We've got clinics in villages, and I have tremendous respect for community health aides. I've worked with a lot of great community health aides, and they're often, if there's only one or two working in the clinic, they're always on call, and they're not getting enough sleep, and they're working a lot of hours. And so just making sure there's a plan, and that communities are maybe talking about plans to get relief for health workers and as much as possible for communities to socially isolate themselves, make sure they stay at home so that they're not having to make health aides work extra during this time, and make sure that people prevent as much as possible so it doesn't overwhelm the clinics and the hospitals.
So you're talking, so basically, I'm sorry for interrupting here, but I kind of want to repeat that point because that's what we're hearing over and over is practice social distance, stay 6 feet away, limit your time out in public. And with health aides, usually there's one, maybe two in a village, and they're on the front lines of taking care of their communities. It sounds like you're saying practicing social distance and limiting your interactions and your time out in public will help health aides be able to rest and get the sleep they need and be healthy so that if COVID-19 does hit the community, they'll be prepared to handle it.
Yes.
Is that correct?
Yes. So the sacrifices we make now by staying out of public and not going to visit with friends and staying, and if we're in a crowded home, making sure, and by crowded I mean maybe you've got multiple people sleeping in one room or also in the living room, just making sure that people kind of stay in their rooms, especially if they're feeling sick, and that will help prevent and sort of slow down the virus so that we don't overwhelm the clinic, overwhelm LifeMed, overwhelm the hospital here, and ultimately even, you know, Anchorage. Alaska, oftentimes with really critical patients, we might have to send some people in certain circumstances down to Washington State, right? So if we can prevent complications as much as possible. But I also do want to talk about, whenever we talk about challenges, I think we should talk about strengths and remember mm-hmm. that the YK Delta has seen a lot of different diseases and climate change, and that the people of the Delta are very resilient. And so remembering that those values of community that we have and looking after one another, you know, making sure to check in on elders, keeping a safe distance, making sure they have enough food. If you have internet, if not even via phone or the VHF, making sure that you're, you know, keeping in touch with the community and making sure people are okay and don't feel completely alone. You can correct me if I'm wrong, but a coworker told me they extended hunting season for moose out here.
They did.
So that is a benefit mm-hmm. we have out here that, you know, road system places don't really have. So if people need to continue, you know, subsistence hunting, that's something that people can do. And you do have the ability to sort of control, you know, who's coming in and out in smaller villages. So these are all strengths as well.
Mm-hmm. And there's been a lot of villages that are enacting travel restrictions in a wide variety of ways. And every day people are telling KYUK more villages that are doing travel restrictions. And I just kind of, anyone who's listening, I just want to make a pitch. If your village
has enacted travel restrictions, please let us know at KYUK. You can submit it news at KYUK.org. We're putting a webpage together with every single village and how they're enforcing those travel restrictions, whether they're letting anyone in, they're turning people away. So there's a lot of communities every day that are making that decision. Kind of back to you, Donna. I'm curious, how in your role as a public health nurse are you helping health aides? You know, I know you visit a lot of villages and help provide testing and vaccines. But in today's environment, what is the public health nurse's role in helping health aides? Can you kind of talk about that, or is that even a correct way to categorize that?
Yeah, so yeah, we out here work, and we have a close partnership with YKHC, and so usually for the itinerant nurses who travel to villages, we work with health aides when we're there. Obviously right now, we're not traveling out to villages at this time. We are managing tuberculosis and coronavirus questions via phone. And so on a big picture level, we're working again on emergency preparedness. So one of the unique roles of public health nursing is we work with the Department of Homeland Security on small community emergency response plans. So those response plans are in place in a lot of communities, and we rely during emergencies, usually natural disasters like floods or fires, but also in cases of infectious disease outbreak, we activate emergency systems. So working with small communities to make these preparation plans, right? Mm-hmm. None of them really address, I guess, where you would have to quarantine sick people if they can't leave the village and things like that. So our role right now is we're going to be reaching out to tribal leadership, health aides, et cetera, working with YK and ANTHC to come up with some preparation questions and recommendations for small communities to protect themselves and prepare for any and all kind of outcomes of a coronavirus infection reaching a village.
And why could you tell us why you're not traveling to villages now? You're just doing it by phone?
A lot of prevention work right now is best done over the phone so that we're not traveling back and forth again, because in small planes, people are not 4 to 6 feet away from each other. It would require protective gear. So just for the time being, managing as much as possible we can over the phone, but we are prepared and know that we may and probably will have to, you know, get out to communities or stay here and work with direct patient contact. So
this is a way of protecting yourself as well as the community.
Yeah.
I'm really keen to know, we've seen a lot of questions coming from YK Delta communities about coronavirus. What have you, as a public health nurse, what questions are you receiving?
I'm getting I just got to Bethel Monday night. I know questions I was getting when I was in Anchorage from community members are just very specific about workplaces, who's allowed to come to work, social distancing, travel mandates, and so. But I also know that in some of the villages, some of the questions we're getting are about how to clean and kill the virus. So all of those questions, you can find great resources if you have access to internet at the CDC website. But if not, you can always call Public Health Nursing 543-2110 and ask to speak with a nurse. I think the two main topics being how do we properly socially isolate and how do we clean.
So I kind of want to move on to tuberculosis. March 24th is World Tuberculosis Day. Can you kind of talk about what this means and why managing tuberculosis cases in the YK Delta is such a big part of your job?
Yeah, so the history of the YK Delta involves tuberculosis. It's really unsure if it was the Russians or maybe different missionary groups when they came in. They brought disease with them from their countries, and one of them was tuberculosis. And so tuberculosis is another infection of the lungs that can cause death. And it moves really slow. Coronavirus takes like 2 weeks sometimes for symptoms to show. Tuberculosis can take years. But it's a really huge part of the infectious disease burden in the Delta. We have in Alaska, in Southwest Alaska, the highest, as of 2018, the highest case rate of tuberculosis in the entire country. Case rate means the number of new cases that we get based on the population. So other places in the country get it from maybe foreign-born people, but in Alaska, it stays in our communities, and it affects mostly Alaska Native populations, and that's out here. So the symptoms of tuberculosis are coughing, sweating at night, sometimes blood in your cough, and weight loss. And these things start to sort of happen over time, over weeks and months. And we, every year, have cases that we manage. Right now we're managing a lot of cases. So not quite 100, but so it's really important for people, even in the time of coronavirus, to get tested and make sure that they're watching their symptoms, make sure that they're, and it's the same thing as coronavirus. If you have tuberculosis, you know, protecting yourself and others by staying away from folks. The great thing about tuberculosis, if there is such a thing to say, is that there's a great thing, but we do have treatment. It is a bacteria, not a virus. It's a bacteria and can be treated with antibiotics. We have those antibiotics available. So if anybody does have a tuberculosis diagnosis, it's really important to take their antibiotics. So we do have treatment for it, but it's a very long treatment, 3 to 6 months in the simplest of cases. So TB is still with us, even though we have this new additional challenge of coronavirus.
And, you know, we talk a lot, you know, hygiene, diagnosis, medical care, but, you know, public health nurses are kind of on the front lines of all of this. And how has COVID-19 kind of changed your life as a public health nurse and as a human, as you're dealing with, as you're performing your job? Can you talk about, give us a peek into your life and, like, what are strategies that you are using, mental health strategies? Like, is there something that you could tell the audience? Because I feel like here, as reporters, you know, so much of is we don't know how long is this going to last. We're learning about more and more who's the most vulnerable. And I think a lot of us are trying to figure out how do we continue with our day-to-day lives, especially those like yourself who are on the front line. Would you mind talking about that?
Yeah. So as a public health nurse, I mean, this is what I'm here for. This is why I chose to work in public health. We've always sort of been concerned that there would be some global pandemic after the last one in 2003, SARS, which was not as widespread as this one. I really want to thank and give much appreciation to all of the people in healthcare that are working right now. There are a lot of people in the service industry that still have to work, and people who I'm very worried about who are now out of work due to hunker down things like in Anchorage and other cities. But I really think that now is the time for us to really be kind to one another and really remember that we're all human beings, and hopefully this brings humanity together in a positive way to combat the virus. But as a public health nurse, how my role has changed, I don't want to say it's changed in terms of hours. It's just a lot more work now. Working with a lot of uncertainty and doing the best that we can with the resources that we currently have. The state has been able to ramp up testing, so as well as the federal government. It was slow going at first, but we have the state lab as well as commercial labs testing. And so as of right now, we've got about 1,700 Alaskans have been tested. We've got 42 positives. And so public health nurses work in conjunction with the section of epidemiology to do the contact investigation and monitoring of the patients who are now, maybe they were contacts and they need to socially isolate and take their temperature every day. So we are working with them to help support that. So that's a new addition, but we have experience with that from other infectious diseases. So, I guess we're just working longer hours, but so is everybody in healthcare. And then in terms of mental health, we are lucky enough to live in a place like Alaska in a time like this where we can still get outside without really worrying about bumping into other people. I know it's been raining here, but as much as possible, you know, you can get outside and be in nature, and that's always something that's calming, right? We have the internet. As much as for people who do have the internet, that is helping keep us in touch with one another, right? So,
Yeah, definitely.
Yeah, and things like meditation really help in calming, you know, sort of personal and community anxiety. But, yeah. How has your job changed, Christy?
So all of us at KYUK are, when this first news first broke, I personally canceled a trip up to Nome for the end of the Iditarod. This was before the state really started ramping out health mandates because I was concerned about the impact of the health of my roommate. KYUK got together and we're like, this is going to be big, and we also need a set of protocols for ourselves to keep reporters healthy. And also, and also stay in touch with my PhD. Immediately, our news director was on vacation, and when she came back, there was a strongly worded health advisory that said anyone returning out of state needed to go into self-quarantine. Anna Rose immediately has been in basically self-isolating for the past 2 weeks. Shane has, our general manager has as well. And then this week, all of us at KYUK are working hard to figure out how to do our jobs from home. So that requires a lot more flexibility. And since we do radio, there are things that we need that the studio can provide, and figuring out how to do that at home. So kind of paint a picture right now, I'm in the bathroom with a coverlet over my head so that I can block out noise so that people can hear me more clearly. And that's kind of something that reporters have to do to record clearly for radio. So just learning how to adjust, and my roommate is also adjusting. But all of us are trying to practice social distancing. We are keeping as far apart from each other as possible when we are in the office. And then just working really hard with local community partners to really get the news out there. So we're operating as a public service. Like, YKT has been wonderful helping us get information out. We've been readjusting how we use our web page, creating articles that are informative, like listing every village with a restriction, calling communities and saying, like, hey, can you please send this over? We're just trying to get the word out. And people have been amazing in helping us with that. We also readjusted our morning show to kind of talk to people to bring on guests, local guests, and people to say, especially like KC, to give updates, to talk about challenges that they're facing. Like airlines are facing a lot of challenges right now.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to get more community members. We want to get community members to call in and talk about how it's like up in their community and what they're seeing and discussing. And this really is a way to speak directly to the community instead of just relying on news articles, just readjusting how we think about delivering information. And we're all adjusting in our personal lives, like being in close quarters with our significant others, being at home more, requiring our job to demand certain things that we're just going to have to navigate around. So I think I can safely say it's like, they basically just changed a lot of ways that KYUK has adjusted. I think giving a new appreciation for friends. I don't know about you, Donna, but I have been on a lot more calls and Google Hangouts with friends that are on the East Coast, and we're just like, oh, my God, this pandemic has kind of brought us together, and just keeping in contact and making sure, okay, I've got a friend abroad that I haven't talked to in a few years. Like, I think just the globalness of it has just kind of, like, shrunk us down in a way and, like, made us, like, reach out to each other and just hold on to each other because it's, like, so valuable. And I am, you know, super, like, just, it's just amazing to watch how the YK Delta, as you said, they're just incredibly resilient. Like, the resiliency and just the, okay, this is what we can fix and we're going to figure it out has just been incredible to watch, as you yourself have said. So that's kind of how KYUK is adjusting and going forward. It's going to be an adventure in so many ways, and I think it's an incredibly, it's a different time than a lot of people are, you know, we're all in the same boat. And that's the one thing, is like healthcare workers, reporters, service workers, grocery store cashiers, we're all, literally all facing the same challenge and kind of in this together.
Yeah. No, I think that living in Alaska, Alaskans are used to having to tough things out more so than in other places in the country. So when, you know, in Anchorage, when the mayor shut everything down, people did it immediately. And they understand mm-hmm. that what needs to be done, and you do what needs to be done, even if it's not the most fun. But we're protecting ourselves and one another, and we really, really hope that these 2 weeks of social isolation will help Alaska control it. And just if people want to also make sure to follow the state of Alaska, if you search for the section of epidemiology, they have a COVID-19 page, and it kind of gives numbers. While it usually, we don't usually like to tell what village a certain disease is in because we don't want people to be stigmatized. Yesterday, the state of Alaska made the decision to start breaking down on that webpage. They break down the cities that these new cases are in so that people can have the knowledge and the power with that knowledge to know what to do for maybe for people who are not taking social isolation seriously. If they see that it is in their town, maybe they will stay at home more than they have been. So that is a new development in terms of reporting, which is not normal for us as a state. So you can mm-hmm. look. A state of Alaska epidemiology, and they have a specific link for COVID-19. You'll see it. So right now it's reporting there are zero cases in the Southwest. Anchorage and Fairbanks have the highest numbers after that. Southeast has the first hospitalized patients in Juneau. So it's coming. We knew it was coming, and so hopefully with getting this information to the public, people will use it to make smart and informed decisions and stay home.
What else, is there any final advice or insight that you have
that you can tell us? It seems like COVID-19, there's a lot of, you know, it was initially pitched as a virus that really hit older adults, but it seems to be hitting younger and younger adults as well. So what can you tell us about that, about that?
Yeah, so I think, and I will always defer to Dr. Ann Zink, who is our chief medical officer. But there is, I think it's difficult to compare the American demographic or how what our population looks like versus China. We have different age groups and different health conditions. So that's why this is so challenging, because we are getting a lot of data and information, but maybe we can't necessarily compare them. So in the United States, I do know that children under 15, this is not as deadly. It is most deadly for people who are older, generally, as most diseases are. Things like the flu, tuberculosis, a lot of things are more dangerous for elders over 60, because as we get older, our immune system gets weaker, and we often have other issues like heart issues and diabetes. So they will always be at risk. But that middle-aged population from around 20 to 50, and this is not an official statement, but, you know, the United States does have our demographic. We are more obese as a nation, and obesity also leads to things like diabetes, heart issues, lung issues, and your body not being able to respond well to stress. So with those health conditions, you know, sort of affecting the majority of Americans, I think that can also, you know, those are risk factors for complications from a lot of infectious diseases. So, yeah, that may be part of it, that we are not, we have different health issues than other countries do.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think we've almost reached the end of our time on the show. Donna, what do you have anything else you'd like to add about tuberculosis and COVID-19 before we jump off and you can get back to your extremely important job?
Yeah, no, thanks. I just prevention, and I know prevention is not sexy. I am a public health nurse. We are often, public health is often overlooked, and our budget has often been cut every year because it's not something that you see. It's not an ER treatment. It's not a life-saving, you know, drug. We are working in the simple prevention, wash your hands, get vaccinated, make sure to get screened for cancer so you can catch it early and prevent it. And so I really hope that people realize that we have public health institutions for a reason. They are important. They should always be fully funded to prepare us for things like this so we don't ever have to needlessly suffer, or at least we can control the suffering more. So I just want to stress for people to get vaccinated, get the flu vaccine. If you haven't got it already, you can get it at the hospital or at public health nursing. To make sure to get screened, to make sure to wash your hands, to make sure to prevent everything as much as possible. So with TB, if you've got symptoms of TB, get a TB test. And if you, obviously, if you've got the symptoms of coronavirus, please make sure to call, which are fever, cough, and trouble breathing are what we're looking for. Make sure to call the clinic or the hospital ahead of time, before you go in. If it is an emergency, obviously go, but if you can call ahead of time and let somebody know so that you can go through a separate entrance or that it can be controlled from spreading to others, please do that. And you can always call with any questions. You can call Public Health Nursing at 543-2110.
Awesome. I think there's a famous saying, and I've been thinking about this saying a lot, that I read, and it's like an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure. Is that an accurate saying, Sam?
Yeah. Wait, is it? an ounce of prevention is worth a pound of cure?
Yeah, I think it's an old, old saying.
Yeah, it is.
It's an old book.
I don't know what the updated version of that would be. But, yeah, it's a lot cheaper to vaccinate, right, if you have a vaccine for something, than to treat the complications. So if we can wash our hands, bar of soap doesn't cost very much, and we can prevent as much as possible having to get people really sick.
All right. Well, thank you so much for coming, for being our guest, and for phoning in and talking to us about all of that. I've learned a lot just in conversation with you, and I hope everyone else who's listening will listen. Just to say again, if your community has put a travel restriction or you have any information about what your community is dealing with for coronavirus, please let us know at news@kyuk.org, or you could just Facebook us as well on our Facebook page, KYUK. This is Wellness Wednesday. I'm your host, Christy Schellenberger, and with me today was public health nurse Donna Bean talking about tuberculosis and COVID-19. Thank you so much for listening to us.
Thank you.
Thanks for listening to Wellness Wednesday on KYUK, a show about health and wellness in the Yukon-Kuskokwim Delta. Catch us every Wednesday at 10 a.m.